public media affects everyone in the music industry and beyond. Thanks for listening today.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
The Last Dinner Party have always had a plan for success, including practice, research, and a dedication to great live shows. But that didn't stop some people from accusing them of being, quote, industry plants when they gained massive popularity before releasing their debut album. According to guitarist Lizzie, some people didn't even believe they played their own instruments.
I've had people message me being like, oh, did you actually write and play the guitar solo on Nothing Matters?
Oh,
I'm like,
my God.
Yeah? Why wouldn't I have? Like, we're a band, like, that's what we do.
And
like, that kind of really, that did annoy me quite a lot.
With The Last Dinner Party set to release their sophomore album, From the Pyre, in just a few weeks, we wanted to revisit their first appearance on World Cafe back in 2023. Raina will get the scoop on the band's formation, and we'll hear live performances from their debut record, Prelude to Ecstasy. It's The Last Dinner Party on today's World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. An estimated 350 people packed into the 4-H building at the Beltrami County Fairgrounds Tuesday night to testify before a judge in the joint administrative trial between Northern Township and the City of Bemidji. The judge allowed Bemidji Mayor George Prince and the attorney representing Northern Township, Mike Corey, to each address the sizable crowd before the hearing began. While recording of proceedings was not permitted, Mayor George Prince recapped his speech with press outside. He says because elected officials couldn't work out their disagreements, the decision over where boundaries will be set and which local government will build sewer around Lake Bemidji lies in the hands of a judge.
It's a failure, and I own an equal share of that, along with, I'd argue, every other elected official that's been involved in this. And so I'm not going to run away from that. I'm not going to pretend that isn't a real thing. We have to get beyond it. We have to abide by whatever decision we get.
Corey says enough of Northern Township's land has already been annexed into the City of Bemidji, and that becoming a city will firm its boundary and protect its tax base.
No coincidence the city is trying to annex a thin little strip of Northern Township all the way around the lake, about 6 miles or so. It's kind of a crazy annexation in that regard. And it's because that's where the tax base is.
Northern Township, with federal grants and possible state bonding dollars, plans to assess these lakeshore properties for some of the cost of the infrastructure for the $21 million project. Bemidji says it could time out installing sewer and water at least to Lake Bemidji State Park in 2026 to work in conjunction with Beltrami County's planned road construction. The city, with already established utility systems, offers a deferred connection program for new utility customers. The public can provide written comments through October 24th, and Judge Jessica Palmer Denig will review them for several months before she makes her decision. A similar public hearing with the judge present will be hosted at the Sanford Events Center in Bemidji at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, October 8th. Members of the public and property owners impacted by the Brimson wildfire this spring can obtain free firewood and gravel permits from the Superior National Forest. The firewood permits are valid for up to 3 years for personal use within the Brimson Fire Complex area to help aid in restoration efforts. Property owners within the 28,000-acre fire zone can obtain a free gravel permit for up to 100 cubic yards of material. The Superior National Forest states that permits can be obtained through its Laurentian Ranger District office in Aurora, with more information available on its website. The permits will be available beginning Monday. The state's Ag Department recently received $11 million from the USDA to expand conservation practices on irrigated agricultural land. The funding will support a 5-year project in 25 counties statewide, building upon previous grant work in 2021. The program will provide financial and technical assistance to farmers using irrigation systems, with efforts focusing on precision irrigation technologies, improved nitrogen management, irrigation water management, protecting groundwater, and expanding the adoption of conservation practices on existing farmlands. Financial assistance is expected to become available later this year. The program will be administered with 26 soil and water conservation districts, including Cass, Hubbard, Mille Lacs, and Morrison counties. The Minnesota Department of Transportation will host an open house for its planned project on Highway 33 in Cloquet. MnDOT staff will be on hand to answer questions from 5 to 7 Thursday evening at the Cloquet Armory. MnDOT began its study in 2024 and is slated to finalize its designs in 2027 for construction in 2028. Planned corridor improvements include two traffic signal replacements, new bike and pedestrian facilities, space for a future motorized trail, and new drainage and lighting infrastructure. The project is estimated to cost $9 million, and construction impacts include lane closures and local detours. Kootaska Community Action is hosting a Halloween costume drive for International Falls and Grand Rapids trick-or-treaters. Kids' costumes can be dropped off at two Grand Rapids Kootaska offices Monday through Thursday and will be distributed to low-income families early in October. A distribution event for iFalls is slated from 2:30 to 5 Thursday, October 9th at the Backus Community Center. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. The Last Dinner Party are set to release their sophomore album, From the Pyre, in just a few weeks. So we're revisiting this 2023 conversation with Raina and The Last Dinner Party, and we'll hear some live performances as well. Here's our own Raina Duras from 2023.
The Last Dinner Party is a band with a very impressive resume. They've opened for Florence and the Machine. They've opened for the Rolling Stones. They've played Glastonbury. They have singles with millions and millions of streams. And they did all of that before releasing a full-length album. All that early success, especially back home in the UK, led to some people accusing the band of being an industry plant. The members of The Last Dinner Party have some thoughts on that accusation that we will discuss coming up. Their debut full-length album, Prelude to Ecstasy, has finally come out, and you will hear new, previously unreleased live recordings they recorded with us when they visited at the beginning of their first U.S. tour in an extended cut of our session with the band today. And as you'll hear yourself, they are the real deal, extremely talented and savvy musicians who've given a lot of thought to the kind of band they want to be and to what they want to achieve. Live for the World Cafe, The Last Dinner Party, Nothing Matters.
I have my sentence now at last, I know just how you felt. I dig my fingers in expecting more than just the skin. Cause we're a lot alike in fever, like a motorbike, a sailor, and a nightingale dancing in convertibles. And you can hold me like the elder, and I will have you like nothing matters. And you can hold me like the elder, and I will have you like nothing matters. We've got a highway tight, the moon is bursting with headlights. One more and we're away, love tender in your Chevrolet. And we're a lord alike in fever, like a motorbike, a sailor, and a nightingale dancing in convertibles. And you can hold me like the elder, and I will have you like nothing matters. And you can hold me like the elder, and I will have you like nothing matters. Even when the cold comes crashing through, I'm putting all my bets on you. I hope they never understand us. I put my heart inside your palms, my home in your arms. Now we know nothing matters, nothing matters. Like the elder, and I will have you
Recorded live for the World Cafe, you just heard The Last Dinner Party with Nothing Matters. I'm Raina Duras. The Last Dinner Party is, or I guess are, my guest today. Four of them are here with me right now. The first thing I want to do is go around the circle here and get you to each say your full name and say what you do in the band. Aurora, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Aurora Nashefsi, and I play keyboard and sing backing vocals.
I'm Emily Roberts. I play lead guitar, and today I'm doing acoustic guitar and flute.
I'm Abigail Morris, and I sing lead vocals.
I'm Lizzie Mayland. I usually play guitar. I'm going to be playing a little bit of guitar today, to be fair, a bit of acoustic, and I sing backing vocals and a bit of lead.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're here in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe, and you're on your first U.S. tour. Are you having fun so far? I know it's just started.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Everything is novel to us right now.
So novel.
Yeah. Is there, okay, we won't linger too long on this stuff, but is there something since you got here that you were like, wow, I wish we could bring this back
Yellow
to the UK with us?
Yellow school buses.
That was so exciting.
We were really freaked out because we were driving around Washington and then a yellow school bus went past us.
We literally all screamed.
Because
there's
nothing
like the
in
films.
England.
Yeah, it's just movies.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I want to start back at the beginning. Abigail and Lizzie, I know that you and Georgia, the bass player for Last Dinner Party, you all met in 2020. And as folks may remember, 2020, not a great year for going out, meeting people, seeing shows. How did you connect?
Well, we actually met a little bit before. So we met first year of uni in like 2018,
I think 2018.
2018, yeah. And we really bonded over just going to gigs almost every single night in London. Like instead of the normal kind of freshers events, we just would go to like all the venues and bars in London and see all the live music there because there is such a incredible scene there, which is kind of where this began to form.
Yeah, and that was a kind of research for you.
Yeah.
And Abby, maybe you can field this one. I'm curious about why you decided that you wanted to research and plan so extensively and take this sort of intellectual approach to starting a band before just taking the leap and starting the band.
I mean, that makes it sound calculated, which it was slightly. I think it's because we all wanted to take it really seriously. I think we're all very ambitious and very driven and passionate. And we didn't want to just take it lightly and be like, oh, let's mess around and, you know, do a bit of music, see what happens. I think we all kind of aligned with wanting to try really hard and really see if we could do this, you know, properly. And I think that's why we put a lot of thought into it. Before we even played our first show, we thought about, you know, how we wanted to look and what our kind of, not strategy, but how we wanted to be as a band and, you know, play live before we recorded anything and build up a live audience instead of putting stuff out and then waiting. And I think we observed a lot of bands in London that had done a similar thing, like Black Midi and Black Country New Road, who didn't, there was like sort of the mystique around them, which was quite an old-fashioned thing to do.
Yeah.
And we really loved that.
When you started the band, other than knowing that you wanted to play live instead of just releasing music first, what was the vision? Like, what were the conclusions of that research for what kind of band you wanted to be?
I think I remember one of the formative conversations I think that Georgia and I had in a smoking area, because all this was kind of done over a series of drunken smoking areas in London, is one of the biggest things we thought about is how we wanted people to feel at the shows. And I remember we were saying that we wanted people to feel when they left an imaginary last dinner party show that they'd just been at a dinner party and it had, you know, amongst friends and people they didn't know, but it was really interesting, exciting conversation and debates and a lot of wine. And, you know, you leave those things feeling like you've kind of, you know, connected with people. And that's where the name came from. So I feel like that's the sense of the band, is we wanted it to feel communal. And I think that's why we focus so much on just gigging live rather than recording, so that people could really feel like we existed in the world and you could kind of have a physical sharing of the space together.
I'm speaking with The Last Dinner Party on World Cafe today. The next song you're going to perform for us is called Sinner. And Lizzie, you wrote this one.
Yes.
Could you talk about writing it and bringing it to the band?
Yeah. I was so nervous. I was really, really nervous. I showed it to Aurora first. I was like, I don't know. I wrote this thing. I don't know about it. I would say that we co-wrote it mostly. I did the lyrics and I sing the lead vocal. But it felt like at that time it was the most kind of everyone came and wrote their original part. And then Emily wrote those just sick guitar lines for the choruses. And yeah, I always wanted it to have an instrumental chorus because it felt like it just needed that. I was listening to a lot of like LCD Sound System at the time, and I wanted it to be dancey.
Knowing that you were listening to LCD Sound System now makes a lot of sense to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to hear you perform it live for the World Cafe, The Last Dinner Party with Sinner.
City night sleeps. She howls the winds of time through her streets. But I know if I go, I'll be nobody but somebody misplaced. A forgotten face in the clouds that roll over the hill. And there you are. And there you are. I wish I knew you back when we were both small. I wish I knew you, but I've gotten too tall. I wish I knew you when touch was innocent. I wish I knew you before it felt like a sin. There's nothing for me here where the world is small, but how you touch me, for that I'd leave it all. Back in the city, cold eyes and lips of dust. So turn and face me, turn to the altar of lust. Crystal stream, wash the sin from your back. Cleanse my soul, make me whole. Dance in the morning glow. Hold me, we can't go back before it felt like a sin.
Sinner performed live by The Last Dinner Party for World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, hanging with The Last Dinner Party today, here with Abigail, Emily, Aurora, and Lizzie. And I want people to know, this is just the second time you've performed these songs acoustic, right?
Yeah. That was our first one for Sinner, actually.
That's so exciting.
Exclusive.
I feel very special. I get to witness this. What is that adjustment like, taking these songs you've played different ways, making them acoustic?
I feel like the songs have had so many different variations now. One, because some of them have changed, obviously, over the 2 years of playing them. Then we've also done like orchestral sessions where we've rewritten it for that. And then someone comes like, can you do this version? Wait, can you do a version with these instruments and these? And it's nice because it gives them like a different kind of life. Like you understand it differently, you feel it differently. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the orchestral stuff. The orchestral stuff on the album gives it so much drama. And I know that your shows, they are dramatic, they are theatric, there are costumes. Take us back, though, to the first dinner party show. What was it like? Set the scene for us.
So it was 2021. Sorry, yeah. It was November 2021 in one of our favorite venues in London called the George Tavern. And we treated it like Wembley, mm-hmm. you know, because it was, we wanted to, you know, take it really seriously. And we put a lot of effort into, you know, the dressing up and the theme, I think, for that, because we do themes for every show, kind of. We do them amongst ourselves, and now we've started doing it for the audience. And the theme for that show was Princess Diana in an American Apparel ad. So that was the theme.
What does that, okay, so what, I love that. What does that look like?
I can't remember what you, I wore. Oh, I did. I wore a white corset and an American Apparel, one of those classic skater skirts.
And the latex gloves.
And the latex gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, and like good. Slicked hair.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I should do that.
That's
good.
Yeah, latex gloves. Bring that. Need to come back.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, you have dress codes for the audience as well. For the U.S., it's like dress like you're coming to the last mm-hmm. dinner party in your finery, in your gowns, and your feathers. What kind of energy does that bring for when the audience is dressed up like that? What does that do for you on stage?
Great question. I mean, I think it heightens the sense of community and of a world that we're inhabiting in a sort of extended universe that the audience are also involved in, so it makes it feel kind of even more theatrical and more emotional.
Yeah. Like we've all come to this party together as well. It's not like, you know, we're all dressed up and everyone's in jeans and... you can come in jeans and a t-shirt, obviously, just to put that... Yeah. But yeah, it feels like we're all here to like share an experience together, which is really nice.
I'm talking to the last dinner party on World Cafe. You got signed just last year. All these huge things have happened. I'm going to list some stuff off. You had sets at Glastonbury, at Reading and Leeds, opening for Florence and the Machine. You're going to be opening for Hozier. You had an opening slot for the Rolling Stones. When did it really hit you that things were getting really big?
It's hitting every day. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, something happens and I think we all get like a bit emotional, like I can't believe that this opportunity that I didn't really think was possible is happening. Mm. And then it becomes a bit normal because we're all mates and we hang out and it's like, this is just our lives then. And you talk to a friend mm-hmm. that's not in the band. And you're like, oh, this is not normal.
It's a bit weird.
This is not a normal way to live your life.
Have you had that's a moment amazing. Like that that you could share where you're like, oh, this is not normal?
I mean, Glastonbury. Stood on stage and staring out. Even America, actually, yesterday, the Washington, D.C. show, I think that was the first time I was nearly on tears aww. On stage. Because I was like, this is just so wild. I've never been to America as well. So to be here and performing is just incredible.
You had this enormous come up back home, and it happened so fast that some people couldn't believe that you were the real deal. And I know you've talked about this a bit before, and it's probably a little annoying to have it brought up all the time, but I wanted to ask, like, what was your reaction when you heard people wondering if you were, you know, an industry plant, quote unquote?
I expected it.
Did you?
I think...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We were like, okay, we're a band, women, non-binary, something, someone's going to say something. There's going to be mm-hmm. some kind of misogyny thrown our way, like... It just feels like a reality, like, you know.
I think also because it's expect. That word is so just like a buzzword in the like zeitgeist at the moment. It's like, you know, it's just being thrown about, you know, to everyone. And I think we expected it because we were like, well, yes, like, you know, this people said about Wet Leg and mm-hmm. our friend's Picture Parlor. And, you know, I think it's just kind of the phrase of the moment that's being used. And we didn't take it seriously. You know, it was a little... saddening to see some tweets of people being upset, but it felt like nothing to do with us, honestly, because it's not true.
Yeah.
And I think people are just saying it because it's something to say.
It felt like a misplaced anger.
Yeah.
Mm, like as if we're the gatekeepers of music, and by us having opportunities, we're stopping other people from having opportunities, which is just, that's how it felt. Like the term industry plant, I don't know what it means, and everyone has a slightly different definition of what it means.
Yeah,
it's just.
I think people also don't know how the music industry works.
Yeah,
you know, yes. What I mean, it's like, yeah, we got signed to a major label, so now we're gonna have some like money and resources behind us. It doesn't make us, you know, evil.
I saw people like on the comments of our Glastonbury set being like, oh yeah, who paid for this slot? So like, that's not how festivals work.
Like we got booked. We were really really lucky to have a really amazing booking agent, and you know, it's all going that way. We didn't pay anyone to play Glastonbury. Yeah, you can't do that.
That's not how
we wanted to, we couldn't.
Imagine if you could, it would be, the lineup would be very weird. It kind of reminded me of a conversation I had with St. Vincent when she was on the show, because she's kind of like you guys in that she's super ambitious. She plans things out. She creates a world. She has a vision. And there is this tendency we were discussing for when it is not men, when it is women or non-binary people who do that, there's a tendency for people to not believe that they could have an imagination or that they could plan out and have agency and decide what they want to do. And people are suspicious that women or non-binary people could execute their own great ideas. And I would love, I don't really have a question there, but I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Is that something that you've kind of encountered?
Yeah,
I've encountered it. Like, I've had people message me being like, oh, did you actually write and play the guitar solo on Nothing Matters?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I have? Like, we're a band. Like, that's what we do.
I'm
and
the
like,
lead
that
guitarist.
Kind of really, that did annoy me quite a lot, because it's like, you wouldn't say that to an all male band, really.
Yeah, no. People would never say that.
No, we wouldn't get any of this if we were.
Yeah. And also, all of us have worked so hard, like, practiced our instrument. Years of songwriting. It is insulting when you phrase it like that. Oh, how could you do that?
Yeah.
It's like, you haven't seen the work put in before, not particularly work that's directly related to the dinner party, but just all of that years of like honing your craft, being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't just come out of thin air. Like, we worked for it.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. I'm talking to The Last Dinner Party on World Cafe. You're going to perform your song, My Lady of Mercy, next. What is the story behind this song?
It's silly to say it's very personal, because all the songs on the record are very personal, but it is particularly soul-bearing because it's about kind of my experience growing up in a Catholic household, in a Catholic school. And being at an all-girls boarding school and simultaneously becoming a young woman, becoming a teenager and grappling with the feelings of my sexuality and my womanhood, and having that alongside this kind of very confusing messaging and imagery, which was simultaneously, you know, if you're not heterosexual, something's wrong, but also feeling a strange comfort in religious imagery in terms of my own sexuality, like looking at this song in particular was based on Bernini's statue of Teresa of Avila, where she's sort of, her head's tipped back and she's being pierced by the arrows of God. But it's kind of, you know, framed as like a kind of orgasmic experience. And when I wrote this song, I kind of wanted to reclaim and repurpose Catholic imagery for my own kind of understanding of myself, rather than putting myself in opposition to it. I wanted to reappropriate it in a way that made sense to me, and that's kind of what My Lady of Mercy is about.
You're going to perform it for us now. Let's hear it. This is The Last Dinner Party with My Lady of Mercy, live for the World Cafe.
I could help you naked in a trench coat. I'll see you on Sunday. I wanna hear them sing. Teach me how to do as you do. Guide me, show me how, and let me be your arrow. Baby, make me bow. I'll see you on Sunday. I wanna hear them sing. Oh, rest your feet on me, my lady of mercy. Strike me, pierce me straight through the heart. I wanna take your picture. Picture me in bed under your crucifix, under your long black hair. I'll see you on Sunday. I wanna make them sing. Oh, right.
On World Cafe, that's My Lady of Mercy from The Last Dinner Party. After the break, we'll talk more with the band and hear some of the songs that have just been released with their debut full-length album, Prelude to Ecstasy. I'm Raina Duris. More in a moment on The World Cafe.
Listening to an encore edition of The World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Let's jump back into our conversation from 2023 with The Last Dinner Party. Here's Raina Duris.
The next song that we're going to hear has some very dramatic, maybe even cinematic imagery. I really love the picture that you paint with this line. I'm just going to read it to you. Back to the olive mount you led me to. The wind was blinding, so I clung to you, and you smiled so sweetly as you threw me down the rocks into the seaweed. Where did the inspiration for that scene come from?
I guess it's a combination of a couple of things. I feel like the first most obvious one is the olive mount is a reference to Gethsemane, which is the thing in the Bible where Jesus goes to beg God to save him before he goes to be crucified. Again, drawing on my Catholic upbringing. And I always found that when I remember like having that read to me when I was a child and in church, and that scene being so interesting because it's the first time Jesus is vulnerable and afraid and weak. This song is about the dissolution of a quite poisonous relationship I was in. It was based on sort of the last time I saw that person, you know, who I'd pinned all my love and hope and everything to, kind of the last time we saw each other, and realizing that it, you know, wasn't going to work, and it was in like a park in a garden, and it felt very biblical. I guess the rocks and the seaweed, that's just how it felt to break up with that person, just like pitching off a cliff into the sea.
After going through a breakup and a toxic relationship, how does it feel to perform a song like this and kind of pour yourself into it?
So good. It's so cathartic. It's great. I still cry sometimes when I do it live. And it's funny kind of doing it now because it's several years on, long time since it's been over. So sort of it's so much less raw and painful now. It's kind of interesting to listen to the song and track how I've changed as a person and how the healing process and being able to see it kind of laid out. It's really interesting.
Will you play it for us?
Yes.
Here's The Last Dinner Party, On Your Side, live for The World Cafe.
Takes all night.
Recorded live for the World Cafe, On Your Side, for my guests, The Last Dinner Party. I'm Rena Duris. They are here performing songs from their new debut album, Prelude to Ecstasy. You're going to play the song Beautiful Boy next, and it starts with Emily playing this lone flute part, and then grows into this big crescendo where everyone's singing along. What was behind the decision to begin with just the flute all by itself?
We went to a Muse concert.
it was that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's sort of because like...
So when I remember having like this epiphany, like seeing... Did someone play flute? No, it wasn't. But there was a single line where like... Because Muse, it's like rock music, everyone's playing all at once, all the time. But then there was this moment in the concert where it's just one thing happening. And I was like, Beautiful Boy, that needs to happen.
Yeah, because the original piano, because that, the original line, the... It was like a more of like a, when I first wrote it, it was like more of like a rhythmic kind of piano situation, but I think it's so much better with the flute. It's so haunting.
I think once we heard it on the flute as well, it was like, that's it.
I think it's very vulnerable and it kind of works.
It kind of parallels the very end when you have the line, I wish I could be a beautiful boy, and it's almost on its own. And it sounds really vulnerable and really honest. I don't know who wrote this song, but could you talk about that line?
I did.
This is a song, I'm really proud of it lyrically actually, because I had a really specific thing I wanted to get across, and I think I did in a good way. And it's basically about feeling envious of a specific kind of man who is so beautiful that you're not like attracted to him in a romantic way. It's more sort of like a, what's it like to walk through life with the specific kind of privilege of being just a beautiful man. You know, beautiful woman is one kind of privilege, but that comes with its own horrors and unfortunate things and fears. But to be a beautiful man.
Well, here it is. It's Beautiful Boy performed live for the World Cafe by The Last Dinner Party.
Is pretty, he launches ships on which he sails to safety, and what I'm feeling isn't lust, it's envy. He has the earth, makes love to her despite me.
What good are red lips when you're faced with something sharp? Beautiful boy, beautiful boy, beautiful boy, I wish I
Dinner Party performing their song Beautiful Boy live for the World Cafe. It's from their new album Prelude to Ecstasy. My name is Raina Duras, and the Last Dinner Party are with me here today. The next song you're going to perform for us, Caesar on a TV screen. Before we hear you perform this, could you give us some insight into what this song is about?
It's another one about me wanting to be a man. No, it's kind of like a semi kind of song written as a character. And it started, I remember my boyfriend at the time when I wrote it, he'd lent me his suit and I was wearing it sitting at the piano wanting to write something. And I felt this very specific feeling of power and sensuality that I only felt in a man's suit. And I kind of wanted to do this song that was channeling the idea of this sort of mad masculine power, and like this sort of idea of like a despotic kind of Julius Caesar character, desperate for love and affection and attention, coming from a very vulnerable place, but only being able to get it by sort of, you know, raising cities and burning things down and kind of, you know, simultaneously using and poking fun of that kind of like masculinity that must wage war. It's kind of about that. And Red Scare podcast.
Yeah, so I caught that and I was like, is she talking about the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I feel like now that we're in America, people will get that now. Because whenever I make it, people are like, what do you mean Red Scare? I was like,
please, yeah, I don't know. I was going to say go look up that podcast, but don't look up that podcast.
Save yourself.
Here is The Last Dinner Party performing Caesar on a TV screen on World Cafe.
Every night when we say goodbye, I know that I can see myself as a man when I put on that suit. I don't have to stay mute. I can talk all the time, 'cause my shoulders are wide, and I'm falling like the leaves on the new grass. I follow your footprints when I guard all your hands. my darling, believe me, I was born to be with you. But it'll be me that the world will answer to. And just for a second I can be one of the greats. I'll be Caesar on a TV screen, champion of my fate. No one can tell me to stop. I'll have everything I want. Anyone and everyone. Well, like me then, everyone will like me then. When I was a child, I never felt like a child. I felt like an emperor with a city to burn. I got down on my an answer, shone up a baboon, and it's raining like it did in Leningrad. My lover would like to buy a flat in Leningrad, and I'd trade my tongue in just to hear him every night. To talk about Red Scare and how they got it right. And just for a second I could be one of the greats. I am Caesar on a TV screen, champion of my fate. No one can tell me to stop. I love everything I want. Anyone and everyone will like me then. Everyone will love me then.
Recorded live for World Cafe, that was Caesar on a TV screen from my guests today, The Last Dinner Party. Their debut full-length album, Prelude to Ecstasy, is out now. Abigail, Aurora, Emily, Lizzie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you
for having us.
It's been awesome. You really said that in like perfect unison.
Yeah. Yeah. Creepy, sorry.
Come back anytime. I'm Rena Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Thanks again to The Last Dinner Party. From the Pyre is due out October 17th. Here's Gnarls Barkley.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. Just knew too much. Does that make
Getting down to the end of the hour with My Morning Jacket and Golden, Gnarls Barkley Crazy before that. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks to our affiliates who make this show possible. A show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philly. I'm Kaleo. This has been World Cafe.
World Cafe is supported by Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR's coverage of religion and spirituality, and by the Wallace Foundation, an independent nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo, and a lot of covers in the mix today, including a new one from Charlie Crockett taking on the seminal song from rock group Bad Company. Bad Company, I won't deny. That is from the new Bad Company tribute album called